Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is Deontay, also known as Big Sir, here on behalf of Another Chance Foundation. We want to be the voice for the community and the prisoner. We seek to stay up to date with information and share with those behind bars and the loved ones who care for them. Another Chance aims to be the bridge that keeps both parties unified. We must never neglect the prisoners of our country or forget to encourage the families in our communities that are impacted by the removal of said loved ones from their free world. We will do our absolute best to keep you all informed, and more than anything, may we all stay in prayer that this too shall pass. With that being said, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, just so grateful for another night, another time just to inform people on what's going on, but also just to bask in your glory, knowing you are in control. Father God, I pray for a great night for our listeners, but a great night for people to hear about you and hear your word, hear your truth, Father God, but just hear success, hear positivity, and just how we move through this crisis, Lord. We love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, how are y'all doing? Just an update on what's going on. Let's see, I believe Nicole is joining us tonight. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How's your week, man? I mean, I guess it just started, so.
It's all right. I can't complain.
Okay. How are things progressing with you there?
They're going a whole lot better. They actually thought they had another case of the coronavirus up here, but and I mean they acted pretty fast on it today. So, but you know, thanks be to God that the girl didn't have it.
Amen. Yeah, it's good. So what did you want to come on and talk about tonight?
Really to give you an update on what's going on here and you know,
okay.
In that aspect.
How's everything going with work?
Well, we have not been back to work yet, but from my understanding, they are supposed to start letting people go back to work Wednesday.
Okay.
So, we're definitely eager to see how that's going to turn out.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think our governor, I'm in Tennessee, said they're going to open up on the 30th. So I don't know. What's your take on everything opening back up? I mean, what would, because you said you were kind of like a health kind of person. You don't deal with germs or none of that before all of this happened, right?
Oh, yeah, in the crate, let me see. So they came in like Friday of last week, and the lady that actually had the coronavirus here, she actually went home Friday. Well, they ended up coming in after she left and sprayed the whole building, you know. They sprayed the entire compound. And the crazy thing is now everybody is sick. Like, everybody's sick with their sinuses or got a cold or something. So it's crazy because I've been sneezing and coughing for the past 2 days and with a headache. So it's just crazy. But I just feel like more precautions need to be taken. I know everybody's eager to get back to work, but at the same time, you gotta realize your health. You can't put everybody else in jeopardy because at the end of the day, they're not testing everybody. You feel me? So by them not testing everybody, you're not sure who has it and who don't have it.
Yeah, and it's weird that some people can have it and never know and could just be spreading it. So I really feel
like everybody
should be tested if that's the case, but I'm not sure how they would even go about doing that.
But, I mean, and that's the same thing. I feel like everybody should be tested because at the end of the day, like you said, you know, some people ain't even showing signs of it. People are just getting sick. And, you know, the people that actually are not showing signs of it is because their immune system is so strong that, it's fighting it off from them getting into that severe mode where everybody else is at.
Yeah. So the woman was who had it there was kind of moving around throughout the compound before they knew she had it.
Yeah, like she was still going to town. She was still among people. So it wasn't like they isolated her right then. They actually waited a day or two.
Oh wow! And they just moved her this past Friday.
No, she went home.
From
they
the
moved
hospital?
Her. No, she didn't even go to the hospital. They kept her here. They kept her in the lockdown cell for like 2 or 3 days, and then they moved her like a day or two later, and put her in a room by herself. They cleared off. Well, they didn't clear it all the way off, but they cleared majority of the hall and put her on that hall. But it took them probably about a good week before they even would test her to see if she had the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Because they was like, oh, she's just faking, whatever. And so, you know, her bunkies at that point in time, well, you know, throughout that time was like, you know, they hadn't got social media involved, they hadn't got their families involved. So it took a lot for them to do in order for them to get that lady tested.
Yeah.
So once that test came back and they said she actually had it, she was here probably about a few days, and then they let her go home.
Nobody else has been tested there?
Nobody has been tested. She is the only person that has been tested. And it's so crazy because we were sitting here talking today when, you know, because word gets around pretty fast when they say somebody's sick or something like this. So it gets around pretty fast. So when they said somebody else had it, we was like, well, that means the officer got it. You know, they got to have it because we haven't been out. You know, we've been isolated in these buildings. So, you know, they not looking at, okay, well, we're keeping y'all in, so we need to make sure that our officers as well is taking precautions because it's no telling what they're doing when they're out and about, you know. Because I know one officer,
right,
she's like, this ain't going to keep me in. So, I mean, it's just a lot of people don't think about about who it all will affect. And, you know, the crazy thing is we actually have a lot of older women here at the CC. So, of course, you know, if they get it, it's going to affect them pretty bad.
Right.
So,
yeah, it definitely need to be more precautions taken with people coming in and out of the prison. It's, most of the federal prisons started shutting down visitations pretty early, but they didn't do much with the COs coming in and out because that's who brought a lot of I guess that's who brought it in, period, unless the nurses and stuff were coming in and out of the prisons.
The prison that I actually come from, which is Lee Arendelle, they have, like, almost 15 cases now. And, you know, the crazy thing is me and my old bunkie, we was talking about it, and me and her said, it's somebody that has been come in contact with all them individuals, and it has been spreading. And so now, you know, at the prison, they actually got all of them housed in lockdown. But, sanitation in prison, it is awful, you know, so once something gets in there, it's going to be hard to get it out because they don't keep up sanitation.
And I was reading something that said it's, I read the title, 73% of inmates in Ohio prison test positive for the coronavirus. That's 73%. That's insane. I mean,
you know what? I bet you a lot of them didn't even have the symptoms of it. So they wouldn't ever thought to actually get tested because they didn't have the symptoms of it.
I mean, somebody need to, Like, what do you do?
And
what
I mean,
do you do in that point?
I mean,
what
that's,
kind of
that's what I,
do you?
You know, that's what I told my friend. I said, you know, somebody, you know, being that, yeah, we could tell them, hey, we all need to get tested, but at the end of the day, they're not going to listen to me because to them, we're just a number. Even though we're at a transitional center, even though, you know, we're almost home, you know, some people go home within 30, 60, 90 days, and it's like, you know, they feel like, okay, well, y'all about to be home anyway. So, you know, once y'all sign y'all papers, that's it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a warning in Louisiana passed from the coronavirus. I wish they acted sooner, but they didn't, and now people paying their lives for it. I bet out of that 73%, I imagine how many high-risk individuals are in that number, elderly, already sick with something else, and it's probably higher than that. If 73% of the prison got it, then probably most people that came in contact with it by this point.
Right. And, you know, another thing we don't sit here and we actually don't think about, you know, they talk about when it first came over here, when it, you know, when the first case was done, whatever, whatever. But you know what? If you really sit back and you really think about it, like, how long has it actually been over here before y'all made a big deal about it, you know, so it's actually no telling how many people have been sick from this and how many people actually died from this, but because y'all couldn't put a pinpoint on it, y'all just said it was natural causes.
That's a good point. I remember a few months before it actually, like, shut everything down, I was watching a video about it. A video about this woman on YouTube talking about the possibility of a pandemic because of world travel and just how much people travel from country to country, how highly likely it was for something like this to happen. And then when it broke out in Wuhan, one of my friends was actually doing ministry work over there. So I remember just starting to pray for that area, and it slowly and slowly kept creeping over here. So I almost felt like God was giving me signs a little bit. And one of the guests we had on was kind of trying to explain that to me, that he probably was just trying to prepare me for what was going to happen. But I definitely watched that video 2 months before this whole thing broke out. And then when it happened in Wuhan, and it was like on my radar because my friend was over there. So it's definitely been on my mind for a while, but it's, sure enough, no telling how long it was actually over here before it kind of, it probably killed more people than we actually know of, I guess.
Right. I mean, you know, it's crazy because everybody's such in a rush to get things back up and running, but, you know, you're not really thinking about everything that is really, yeah, we may be at a, you know, it may not be as many deaths right now. But if you start letting people go back out to work, you know, if you try to start moving the economy too fast, you are liable to have another big number of deaths on your hand because of it's not gone. It's still here. Y'all don't have a cure for it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the struggle, though, because people want to get back to work. I don't know how effective the stimulus check was to the majority of people. I know a lot of people say they didn't even get it. So what are your thoughts on moving forward with all of this? I know you're a positive thinker. So what's your mindset going forward next month, I guess?
It's funny because I was looking on Google. You know, I'm always Googling about this coronavirus. So I learned that they opened the beaches back up in Florida, of course. So, you know, moving forward and what I think will happen is I look forward to slowly start back getting to where people are being cautious for it, but also being able to move how they want to be and not really worry about being locked down. And, you know, I learned that a lot of businesses are actually having to foreclose because of this. And, you know, I just pray that they able, you know, throughout the whole thing, that they're able to, you know, gain a bigger and better business.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure, yeah, a lot of people closing.
Right. And it's so funny because me and my coworkers, we texted our boss earlier, and then we was like, hey, we get to come back to work on such and such day. And he was like, oh, no, we're not opening back up till May 4th. And
May
4th? So, you know, yeah, we're opening back up May 4th. But I think the ladies here, some of them are actually going back to work Wednesday. So it's just funny, but at the same time, it gives us time enough to really sit back and really observe how things is going on out there, how things are running, just the law of everything.
I'm pretty ready to get back started with some form of normality. But my only fear, I would say, is going around my grandmother, stuff like that. Like, I'm a little afraid to go around, like, those in my family who are older. But I don't want to risk anything.
And, you know, I think you actually have a lot of people that feel like that, especially with it not really being a cure out there. You know, everybody's still, you know, trying to figure it all out. I feel like as long as you take the precautions that you need, even if you want to go see them, you know, wear a mask, wear some gloves. And this, you know, it's crazy because this is what a lot of people feel for understanding. They continue to wear these same gloves everywhere they go. It is not helping you to have on a same pair of gloves. Say, for example, you get on a bus and you touch something on that bed.
Mm-hmm.
It is not good to put your hands in your face or touch your phone, because guess what? The bacteria that you're touching on that bed is going to be on your phone. When you get on there and you sit down and you're not, you know, a lot of people not thinking about that. You're carrying germs. Yeah, it's a good thing to have gloves on, but be mindful of the things that you touch. Because even though you have a pair of gloves on, once you touch something, your clothes, your pants, you know, just anything, you touch it, guess what? You ain't no telling what you don't put on yourself, because you're not taking the precautions to take them gloves on and put on a new pair. Even with that, like my boss, even she would wear the same gloves, but anytime she would touch something, she would go and put Germex on them and clean them, or she would wash them. So, you know, she was being mindful of everything that she touched. So we have to be mindful of what we touch.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure. I mean, I definitely didn't think about the door handles and stuff like that, all of that, before this happened. But it's no telling how many germs we touch throughout the day. So it definitely woke people's minds up to that, I believe, washing your hands, cleaning your hands, making sure not to touch your face. I think people are going to be well more aware of that. Probably not going to be a lot of shaking hands and hugging and stuff like that going on. But, you know, one thing, I want to know your thoughts on this. What's your ideal about when you think we should start going back to church and not even just church, but just going back to basketball games or football games or any big group kind of venues?
It's funny you say that, because I watch a church service on my phone, whatever, and they actually have church outside. And what they actually do is they have a podium out there, and they have a speaker, and it's loud enough for everybody to hear, and they sit in their car and listen to the service. So you're still doing, you know, you're still doing your whole social distancing thing, and you're being able to go to church. And
I miss that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Like, and you know, I think a lot of I see a lot of places up here that actually has started doing it online. So for me, I would say probably I wouldn't jump right back into it. I would give it till probably about September. You know, I would say probably when the kids are able to go back to school, I feel like then I feel like it'll be safe enough for people to go in church. And
When are they opening schools back?
Right now it's still up in the air. Some saying August, some saying September. So it's been floating. I don't think they really know exactly what day they're gonna let them go back yet. But I think they're trying to take the precautions that's needed, you know, to be able to get them back in school and to have them safe. So I feel like churches and all that should also probably start back around the same time that they start back. And I mean, even like in New York, I know certain jobs, they're actually making them get tested before they are able to go back to work.
Well, that's
so cool. I think that'll be a good thing, especially if like, I'm not going to say so much as they're right in the church, but so far as like players on the field and stuff like that, I personally feel like if they want to play, then they should get tested just because to protect yourself and protect the others that are playing with you, because you don't want to get on the field and then you pass out and these people don't know why you passed out.
Yeah.
And then come find out you were sick.
It's definitely going to be risky going back and playing sports for sure.
Right.
So what's the positive message for tonight? What do we leave away from this conversation? Focus on goal setting, creating some form of a mindset to push us forward in the midst of this adversity.
I think just, you know, don't give up. Continue to strive and continue to move forward. And, you know, take it one day at a time.
Amen.
You know, I think by getting, every accomplishment starts with a decision. So you got to be able to have that patience so you're able to achieve what you want to achieve.
Yep. I like it. Every accomplishment starts with a decision. And today we need to make the decision to be great, be better than we was yesterday, and to move forward in the midst of adversity. Thank you for being on tonight, and I hope we get to have you on another time.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too.
Another great just talk with Nicole, and definitely prayers over her and everyone in that compound. Just praying that they're healthy and that God is protecting them in the midst of this adversity. Just for all of you guys that don't know me, don't know anything about me, I'm a guy that is madly in love with Jesus Christ. I've had a story, I've had a background, but God has done some great work in my life. And so if you're on here and you're like, man, this guy talks a lot about church and God, and they open and they close with prayer, and he always bringing in scripture, he always praying, well, you know, this may not be the call for you to listen to, because I can tell you, That's what you're going to get from me. And so I'm madly in love with Christ. I feel like the body of believers has a unique opportunity to really be hope and be love and be life to a bunch of people who feel hopeless, who feel lifeless, and who feel like they're not being loved during this point. And the word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so he gave for us all. He made a huge sacrifice. And I think a small sacrifice that we all could make right now in the midst of everything that's going on is to love. We have to love. We have to lead out in love because the word promised us that love will never fail. It's a promise. And so we have to know that. We have to live in that and bring hope to this world. It may be dark. I'm sitting out looking out my window right now, and it's pitch black, and all I can see is these two lamps and light shining bright, and it's lighting up half the road. And that might be the representation of who we are in the midst of a dark time. We are that light for people to guide themselves along the pathway, along the road. So it takes more than one of us. It takes a lot of us. And so we all need to work together to build this economy, to build up hope, to build up love, and show people just how much Christ loved us through our love for one another. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. I'll close us out with a word of prayer. Father God, just so amazed that you, at your control over this situation, at your love for us all, Father God. Once again, I just pray for financial relief amongst your world. I pray that people are being healed all around the world. Father God, I pray that your body, those who say that they know you and they believe in you, Father God, are being bold, are walking around in authority, knowing, Father God, that you're in control. Not that we're being silly or misguided or walking around touching everybody, but, Father God, we're being smart, but we're also representing the authority of Christ. And as we love on people, as we give to people, as we pray for people, we thank you so much for your guidance in the midst of it all. Be with us, Father God. Be with the prisoners. Be with their families. Bring them peace, Lord. Be with the widows. Be with the elderly, Lord. Be with all those in need that need someone to help them, Father God. And I pray that us all, everybody, believe or not believe, if you see a need, meet that need. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be blessed.